Second Peter. Chapter 2, we've looked at the fact that false teachers are wells without water. Right now we're looking at the next description of them, that they are clouds that are carried with a tempest. And the main thing we were seeing last time about clouds is the fact that they are associated with darkness. What clouds do is that they come between us and the light of the sun, and so what they do is they blot out the sun and darken its light. And that's what false teachers do also. They come between us and God. They block His truth and leave people in the dark. And one more place, Zephaniah chapter 1. Verse 15, it's talking about the day of the Lord as a day of judgment. And it describes it this way. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. So again, there you see clouds and darkness associated together, because clouds are the cause of darkness. Sometimes we get a real dark day and a storm about to come upon us. It seems so dark, it says, what is, it seems like it's night almost already. And that's what clouds do. And so, rather than bringing people into the light of God's truth, false teachers keep them in the darkness of error. Now, the next thing that Peter says about false teachers is that not only that they are clouds, but he describes the clouds this way. Jude said they were clouds without water, or they don't have the truth of God to give to those who hear them. Here it says they are clouds that are carried with a tempest. Storm clouds, which usually have high winds associated with them. And so here's what Peter is telling us now. The word carried means to drive or impel or urge on. So in other words, the wind are pushing the clouds through the sky. It's used in a number of occasions. It's used to describe the effect of winds upon a ship. Of course, you know that ships were driven by winds and they were under wind power. James chapter 3. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great or big, and are driven of fierce winds, there's that word, driven by fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. We know God has control of false teachers. Remember, the deceiver and the deceived are His. But what we're being told here is basically false teachers are like ships without a rudder. They just are carried anywhere the wind may blow. And we'll be seeing that here soon. It also talks about the effect of demons upon men. When demons come upon individuals and possess them, or influence them or impel them, it's very much like the men are being driven by a wind and they're helpless before the power of the devil. Luke chapter 8, verse verse 29, it's talking about the man who was possessed, the demoniac of Gadara. And in verse 29, Jesus comes to him, and it says, for he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oftentimes it had caught him, you know, taken hold of him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he breaks the bands. In other words, the devil gave him supernatural power, physical strength, and he was driven of the devil into the wilderness. That's that same word. The devil drove this man out from society and human habitation and companionship into a wilderness condition. Also, another place, it's another word, but it has a similar meaning. It speaks of how the waves, we saw it in James chapter 1, tells us that the waves are driven also by the wind. That's James chapter 1 and verse 6. Let him ask in faith, ask God for wisdom, nothing wavering. Moving about, wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. So there's the description of a double-minded man. He's unstable. He's always changing. Variable. And that's what 2 Peter is telling us. That false teachers are unstable and changeable. They're never settled or grounded or rooted or hold firm to what's right. They can't. They have no rooting and grounding in Christ and in His Word. And so they're easily tossed by every wind of doctrine, and they're never settled in the truth. Look at me in Ephesians 3. Paul prayed for this for the Ephesian believers. They're not supposed to be easily driven around, pushed around, blown around. They're supposed to be firmly attached and hold fast to Christ and to our faith in Him and to the truth of His Word. Paul prays in Ephesians 3:16 that He, God, would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Even Christians have the Spirit of God dwelling in them, and that Spirit is one who ministers in our lives and hearts, strengthens us with might. Of course, the false teachers have not the Spirit of God, and so they have no strength from Him. And he says, he prays this, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. Now, when a tree has good roots and it is exposed to wind and storm, what happens? It sends those roots down even deeper and gets a firmer hold of the ground so that it can stand up against even greater forces. But if a tree is very weak, poor roots, or no roots, the wind will blow it over. Well, false teachers are like trees without roots. Paul doesn't want us to be that way. He wants us rooted and grounded firmly, established in love, and that we may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. Alright, so that's what he prays for us. Over in chapter 4, he again prays for their maturity, that they would come to full stature in Christ, become perfect or complete, mature. He says in verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith, and with all believing the same truth of the gospel, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, who is, of course, the theme and subject of the gospel, unto a perfect man, a complete or mature, grown-up man under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So here you have growth and strength being described. But, of course, you can't grow if you don't have life. And if you're not rooted, you can't draw up nutrients to give you growth and greater stature. And so the false teachers cannot do this. So what is this to prevent? That we henceforth be no more children. Right? That's the opposite of perfect, immature. Tossed to and fro. Right, there you got it. Tossed around and carried about. How are they tossed around? Carried about with every wind of doctrine. Every new idea that comes down the pipe. Oh, that sounds pretty interesting. That sounds good. I like that. I wonder if that's right. I better check that. And they are easily influenced and led astray. Tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. And what's behind those winds? By the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So deceivers are themselves easily deceived. That's why Paul said evil men and seducers shall wax and worse, deceiving and being deceived. They pull each other around with their lies and their false ideas, and they're easy prey. So what's the remedy for that? But instead, speaking the truth in love. Right? Speaking God's truth in the love of the Spirit, he may grow up into him, into Christ, in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Growing up, as you're in Christ, you're firmly rooted and grounded in him, you're drawing from him grace and strength, and he's ministering to your spiritual needs and feeding you his word and his truth, and as a result, you become more and more strong in the faith, and you grow up to be a mature Christian. And not easily taken in by all the lies that are going around. And there are plenty of those. All right, so, false teachers. What is one very obvious characteristic of wind? Winds are always variable. They're always moving around and changing. And so are false teachers. And what is behind all that? Well, the devil, of course, has fallen from God. He has no relationship to God. And he is under the power of sin. And as such, separated from God and under sin, he is a very restless spirit. He's never still. He's never quiet. He's never at rest. He's always moving about, driven by all his own guilt and the malice and hate and spite and scorn, and so he can find no peace. And in Job chapter 1, what is the devil doing when he reports to God? Verse 6 and 7. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Where are you coming from? And Satan answered the Lord and said, very general answer, not anything specific, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. Right, always going about, always busy, doing his dirty work, trying to create mischief and havoc and ruin. And he can never cease from that. But he's going all about, and I think the Lord knew that he had his eye on Job, and he kind of tried to arrest his attention and direct it to Job and get Satan to think about him. Look at Matthew 12, verse 43. It talks about the unclean spirit, which of course is the spirit of the devil. It says, when the unclean spirit has gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Finding no rest, it goes around to his courses, and notice his situation, where he is, they're all dry places. Because without God and in sin, that's the only thing they can find, is parched, barren wilderness. But he goes through that, trying to find some kind of rest, but it escapes him completely. Always busy, always active, always moving about. And false teachers are the same way. They don't sit idle. Remember what Jesus said of the Pharisees? They will compass sea and land to make one proselyte. They do all that work trying to destroy a soul. And, you know, we see it today. Who's more active than the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses and going all around trying to lead people into their heresies and ultimately to damnation? All that work to destroy souls. How busy we should be to seek to save souls. But here you have the unclean spirit, finding no rest. Remember the Gadarenes? What happened when Jesus cast the devil out of him? Please let us go into the swine. All right? Go. And they entered into the swine. And did the swine down? No, they ran headlong into the sea and perished in the water. They couldn't lay still when the devil took hold of them. And that's how false teachers are. One more, 1 Peter 5, verse 8. Peter's already mentioned this. He tells us to be on our guard and beware. Why? Because we are dealing with a very active and very dangerous foe. Be sober. Be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about. There he is again, moving. Always active. Always going from place to place. For what purpose? Seeking whom he may devour. You think a roaring lion would put all his prey, you know, in a case of being aware of his presence and being warned of his coming, and yet the devil roars and people seem to just ignore his roar and allow themselves to be eaten by him. And so the devil is a restless spirit. Those who are moved by him, these false teachers, are also in a condition of endless instability and unsettledness, never holding any one place or position for any length of time. Notice what Ephesians 2:2 says. The devil is restless. His servants are also restless because he's the one working in them. It says, wherein in time past you walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So he's the one working, and that's what gives them that character. They're under his influence and power, and they are changing and variable like he is, unsettled. You know, it's interesting, clouds don't seem like much, those puffy things up in the sky, but they do have substance. They are physical things. They have weight and shape. Job chapter 26, verse 8 says that. bindeth up the waters in his thick clouds, and the cloud is not rent under them, or is he has the weight of the water. Sometimes we see clouds, we say they're heavy with rain, because they have that water that they contain, and that, of course, is a physical substance, and has weight and shape. Even the winds, which seem even lighter than the clouds, they have weight. Job chapter 28, verse 24, it talks about God. It says he looks to the ends of the earth and sees under the whole heaven to make the weight for the winds. And he weighs the waters by measure. When he made a decree for the rain and a way for the lightning of the thunder. Then did he see it and declare it. He prepared it, yea, and searched it out. So he makes the weight of the winds and of the water in the clouds. And so they do have weight and shape. Yet the clouds are even lighter than air. They hang up in the sky, and they're carried about by those winds, and they're always changing in their shape and in their form by the influence of the wind. Ever looked at a cloud and said, oh, it looks like a horse? Oh, no, now it looks like something else. No, it changes shape again. Always changing and moving. They don't stay in one place very long. Well, that's like false teachers. False teachers are light. In other words, they don't have any weight to them. They don't have in them the substance of the truth or the reality of spiritual life. And so they're easily moved by falsehood and deception. Nothing to hold them in place. Just like a tumbleweed. It blows along the ground wherever the wind moves. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 32. God's talking about false prophets. I'll read 31 and 32. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. In other words, their message is empty. It's not a weighty message from the Lord. Remember, the word of God is called the burden of the Lord. Burdens are heavy. They say their own words, and their words are light. In vain. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. They're empty. Windbags. Full of air. Bubbles that easily pop. Light. Zephaniah chapter 3 also says this. Zephaniah chapter 3. We saw chapter 1 earlier. Chapter 3 and verse 4, talking about false prophets again. Her prophets are light and treacherous persons. The priests have polluted the sanctuary. They have done violence to the law. Light and treacherous persons. They're traitors to God. And again, their message has nothing to it. Now, clouds are made up primarily of water vapor. And what's one quality of water? Well, you ever spill water and try to pick it up? Hard to get a hold of, isn't it? It's very fluid. It'll take the shape of whatever you put it in, But once it is out of any container, it just loses all ability to hold its shape. And it'll disappear if you allow it to fall to the ground. It's very unstable. That's one quality that water has, and also the false teachers. Genesis chapter 49. Jacob had 12 sons. His oldest son, Reuben, he was pronouncing his blessing on his children. And Reuben, of course, had committed a sin in the family. Verse 3, it says, "Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity and the excellency of power." So he had a position in the family as the firstborn son, which carried with it a lot of responsibility, a lot of blessing and importance. But he threw it away. Unstable as water. Thou shalt not excel, because thou wentest up to thy father's bed, then defilest thou it. He went up to my couch. Right? He did a very wicked thing. A case of immorality. And Jacob says, you had all this promise and all this position, all this opportunity, and you lost it. Just like water spilled. You're unstable as water. You cannot excel. False prophets are unstable as water, or as clouds in the winds, and they cannot do anything of value to man or anything that is glorifying to God. They have no stability, or they don't ever stick to what's right. They jump from one idea to another, and they move around according to what is what people want to hear and what will benefit them the most. So they change their message and adjust it and fit it to the situation and to what they're trying to get for themselves. And so you're never going to find them saying the same thing twice or for any length of time. And so you can't follow them, and all they do is produce confusion and unbelief. So they are clouds driven by the wind. We'll look into that more next time.